This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, our theme for this year is a year of elevation and manifestation. Everybody say a year of elevation and manifestation. I believe Word of Truth Family Church, God is going to elevate us as we allow him to do that, because you have to let God do that. And I believe as he elevates us, we will see and experience his blessings and his promises in our lives in 2026. And so last week, our message title was "The Altar is the Elevator." And if you missed last week's message, I want to strongly suggest to you to go back and watch it, because every message that I'm giving this year is going to point us in the direction of elevation and manifestation. Now, today's message is definitely apostolic. You say, well, what does that mean? It is a message that is foundational, but it is also a message of vision. So if you're taking notes, or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy of them. If you're watching online, get ready. And because the goal of the message today is to give us a prophetic glimpse of where God is taking us as a church and as a people. And hopefully through the message today, he's going to unveil through revelation how he's going to do that in our lives. And so our text this morning is actually covering two different people, watch this, who were called to do the same thing, of course, which is lead people. But these two people are going to, we're going to see that they do the same thing in two different ways, which takes us to our first point this morning, which I want to jump right into it, which is Moses broke chains, but Joshua claimed territory. We're going to do a contrast this morning. Moses broke chains, Joshua claimed territory. Everybody say, Moses broke chains, Joshua claimed territory. So let me give you the context of what we're about to read so you can see where we're going. In chapter 12 of Exodus, God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery out of Egypt. And so now we're getting ready to read chapter 13, which is where now God is now ending them leaving, and now we're reading the story and picking it up. So in Exodus 13, verse 17, I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the Philistines," or not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. "For God said, lest perhaps the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." And sometimes in our lives, God has taken us the long route, because if he took us the short route, the trouble that we saw in that route, guess what we would do? Turn around. So he said he didn't take them the short way. He took them the long way, because they may have saw war and returned to Egypt. Verse 18. "But God led them about through the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, and they harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Verse 21, this is important here. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of what? fire to give them light to go by day and night. And verse 22, which is very critical, it says, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor did God take away the pillar of the fire by night. Read this last part with me. From before the people. Now, that'll be critical in just a minute. So we can see that they escaped from Egypt, and then God led them by a cloud in the day and by a fire by night. And that was the long route because Pharaoh's army was behind them. And what's interesting is they got to a place where the army was behind them, and then the Red Sea was in front of them. And so now we're about to skip down and read some more, because what we're about to see is everybody now begins to complain because they were led out of Egypt, out of bondage. Now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's a place where you don't know necessarily what to do. And so now we're going to pick up now chapter 14. Verse 11 in chapter 14, where it reads, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Why did you let me fire God on my job? So now we pick up God's response to Moses complaining to him. So here's the cycle. They complained to Moses. Now Moses is about to complain to God. Verse 14, in chapter 14, verse 15, this is in the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get moving. Amen. Verse 16, watch this now. This is critical. He says, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea, read it with me, on dry ground. So now we see that's the story of Moses. God used him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. He now took them, and they got to a point where God used Moses and his staff to cause the Red Sea to open up. So now let's look at Joshua, who eventually took the place of Moses after he died. It's time now for the children of Israel to move, watch this, from the wilderness now to the promised land. So now we're in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. He says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. So now we're going to pick up the story on what happened. We're going to jump down to Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to do a little reading, and then we're going to jump into the message. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, they left Achaia Grove, and they arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, everybody say 3 days later. 3 days later, the Israelite officers, I want you to pay attention to this. The Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to who, church? To the people. When you see, this is what they told the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, move out from your positions and follow them. That's going to be key. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. But I need you to stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. And we're going to see later that one of the reasons that's necessary when it comes to leadership is because the closer you get, the more flaws you will see. And some of you are not going to have enough respect for people that I put in place to lead you because you're too familiar and you're too close. See, if you're close enough to see somebody's flaws, that means you're close enough to be their intercessor. Unfortunately, instead of people becoming other people's intercessor because they see their flaws, they become their criticizer. He says, make sure you don't come any closer. Watch verse 8. Give this command to the priests who carry the ark. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river, and I want you to stop. Verse 12, now we're jumping down. Now, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as their feet touch the water. I want you to see the difference between what happened with Moses and with Joshua. He says, as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. Verse 16, the latter part of it says, then all, everybody say all. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Everybody say, Moses broke chains. Joshua claimed territory. Now, I believe what we just read is a prophetic message and picture of what God has used for me to do over the last 20 years pastorally, because, see, pastorally I represented Moses. But now, everybody say now. But now, apostolically, I represent Joshua. Which now brings us to point number two, because under Moses, God led from heaven. But under Joshua, God led through structure. I'm going to say that again. Under Moses, God led from heaven. You say, what do you mean? Remember, it was a cloud by day and a fire by night. So although Moses was leading them, they could question his leadership because all they had to do was look up and see what a cloud was. Under Moses, God led them from heaven, but under Joshua, God led through structure. Here's a take-home statement. Moses led the people out of bondage, but Joshua led the people into blessings. I'm going to say that again. Moses led the people out of bondage, but now Joshua comes along. He's leading the people into blessings. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? Because remember, Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses led the people, and the cloud by day and the fire by night directed the people. We read that in Exodus 13, 22. But I want you to notice that it said that the cloud and the fire appeared before the people, which means the people knew where Moses was taking them because they could look up to the cloud and the fire to see if he was going in the right direction. But see, God removed the cloud and the fire when Joshua came along. And Joshua led the people, watch this, but the leaders he picked directed the people. I'm going to say that again. Joshua led the people. He was the leader. But the leadership directed the people. You may say, well, Pastor Ed, what do you mean? See, under Joshua's leadership, everybody say Joshua's leadership. Under Joshua's leadership, vision came from him. But instructions on how that vision would happen came from his leadership. In fact, Joshua 3:2, when it said 3 days later, it was the Israelite officers who came, watch this, and they're the ones that gave instructions to the people. And they said to them, when you see the Levites, the ministers, the priests carrying the ark, watch what he tells them. Move out of your positions. This is what the leadership told the people. Move out of your positions, and I need you, watch this, to follow them. So watch this. The eyes of the people had to move from looking up to now looking forward. In other words, their eyes were supposed to see the ark, but their actions were supposed to follow the priest. Did you see what I said? Their eyes were to see the ark because the priest was holding the ark up, but their actions were supposed to follow the priest. And that's why 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Joshua's leaders are the ones that told the people that, listen, I need you, when you see the ark, I need you to get out of your position and follow the priest. And so as now the apostolic leader, I'm adding layers of additional leadership and ministerial support to our church. And your direction is going to come from your connection. See, I'm going to set the vision. I'm doing that right now. But what's going to happen is, even though I'm setting the vision, your direction is going to come from your connection. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's a take-home statement. Vision may come directly, but provision is going to come indirectly. You say, what do you mean? See, the vision here at Word of Truth will come from me. But how that vision is going to be executed and advanced is going to come from qualified leaders I have picked. Okay, did you notice that the Red Sea, watch this, it was parted by Moses and his staff. Now just think now, his staff represented an extension of him. So the sea was parted by Moses and his staff, but the Jordan River was parted with vision from Joshua, and watch this, and the ministerial support of the priest that he had. In Joshua 3:15, it says, it was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing with its banks, but as soon as the feet of the priest, it didn't say as soon as the feet of Joshua. It said, as soon as the feet of the priest who was carrying the presence of God or the ark, as soon as their feet touched the water, watch what happened in verse 16. The water began to back up at a great distance, and the people were able to cross over to the Jordan River, not because Joshua put his feet in. It's because Joshua's staff or his support or his ministerial staff are the ones to put their feet in. In other words, church, the people crossed the sea following Moses as the leader, but Joshua's vision, which came as him being the leader, it was executed and came from the structured leadership. So I have a news flash. Touch your neighbor and say, this is a news flash. Here's a news flash. The growth of our church is now, listen, it's now beyond just me and the staff, which is why I'm adding additional ministerial support and leadership. And this is why next week I'm going to be ordaining additional pastors and additional ministers. Why? Because that next layer of support is going to be necessary. Because here's a take-home thought. Moses led the people, but Joshua led the priest. So now some of your direction is going to come from your connection. And this is why some of you, unfortunately, if you don't connect, you're going to get lost in the sauce. Because now instructions, vision is going to come from me, but instructions on carrying that out is going to come from who you're connected with. So if you're in the church, but you're not connected to the church, what's going to happen is you're going to get lost in the sauce, because now the direction is only going to come from who you're connected to. Did you notice that Joshua's leaders are the ones that said to the people, listen, get out of your position. Once you follow the priest, and those of you, you know, here's another news flash. Touch your neighbor and say, this is another news flash. For those of you who have been here at Word of Truth for years, if you don't watch it, you're going to stagnate your own growth if you resist the shift. The vision of the house is going to still come from me. But how we execute and advance that vision is going to come, watch this, through aligned leadership. Which means you can't just be aligned to me. You will have to get in alignment with who I pick as leadership. And some of you are going to be tempted to try to stay connected directly to me. But the problem with, see, touch your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you a problem. Some of you who try to stay connected directly to me, I need you to understand that only babies require milk from their mothers. Meat allows them to be nourished by others. In other words, church, babies have to stay attached to the mother to get their milk. But when they learn to eat meat, they can now eat from different sources other than the mother. See, some of y'all want to stay on my breast. That's not a bad word. That's not a bad word, is it?
Some of y'all want to stay directly to my breast, and I'm saying, no, you need to get off of milk, and you need to start eating meat, and meat will be served through my leadership, but you have to get under them to eat it. I'm doing good so far. Hebrews 5:13 says, for everyone that uses milk, they are unskillful in the word of righteousness because they are a baby. But strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even by those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, what I'm saying, church, is you can try to stay directly connected and stay on milk, or you can get under the design structure and start eating some meat. Which brings us to point number three, which is Moses parted the water with his staff. Joshua parted the water with his team. I'm going to say that again. Moses parted the water with his staff, but Joshua parted the water with the team. And you may be thinking, how can we, newly appointed Apostle Evan, how can we trust the leadership that you appoint? What if they are not functioning with your heart? Well, let me give you this morning the acid test for trusted leadership. First of all, if their life or their language doesn't line up with mine, then report them to Houston because we have a problem. Okay? If a leader's hand, in other words, what they do and how they serve, if their hand doesn't match my heart, here are three things I need you to do. Number one, I need you to pray. What are you praying, Pastor? You're going to pray for them and about what you have experienced from them. See, most people, when they experience somebody doing something that may not line up with my heart, instead of praying for the person and what they experience, they go and talk about the person and what they experience. So your first order of service is not to talk about it, it's to pray about it. Say amen to that. Then the second thing, after you pray about it and your heart still's not settled, then number two, you're going to say. You say, well, what am I saying? You should do what the Bible says and approach them with love. Watch this. If they did something or said something to offend you. Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Is that what it says? No, it says, go and tell him or her his fault between you and him alone. And if he or she hears you, then you have gained your brother. Listen to that in the New Living Translation. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, then you have won that person back. In other words, guess what? You should not have any other additional conversations with nobody else. You know, so-and-so, they approached me, and Pastor Eben wouldn't do that. And I went to them, and they told me, and they apologized and repented for it. They didn't know. They didn't understand. And so I knew they didn't have his spirit. No, because you don't have mine by doing that. If it has been resolved between you and the person, it should not be further discussed. Okay, so let's say you pray, and let's say you say, and that ain't working. Then your third step is to relay. You say, well, what is that? That's when you report what you have seen to the leader, just like the 12 spies reported to their leader. Matthew 18:16 in the New Living Translation says, but if you are unsuccessful after you approach this person, if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And here's the problem. Most people don't want to do that. They're like, oh, I don't want to start nothing. I don't want to be messy. No, you being messy by not doing the message. Amen. Because church, this next season we're in cannot be carried by one person or one voice. It's going to require shared weight. Everybody say shared weight. Shared weight. It's going to require multiplied leadership. It's going to take spiritual order. So you may be here asking, well, Pastor, how does this apostolic shift benefit me? So look at one more person and tell them, he's about to tell you right now. Because see, some of y'all are like, I don't like change. The problem is you view change wrong. How many would love a change in your paycheck if it increased? Put your hand up if I'm talking to you. Right. See, you don't mind change if it benefits you. The problem is, even if change doesn't look like it benefits me, it still benefits me because God's going to make sure that whatever happens to me is going to work together for my good. Which now brings us to our last point, which is a change in season requires a change in identity. In other words, I'm saying whenever God changes your assignment, which he has done with me, he often changes your identity, and name change, listen, also comes along with assignment change. So here's a power thought. Listen to this. If God is doing a new thing, which he is, then change must take place on our part to receive this new thing. Because, church, new wine cannot be put in old minds. Sometimes your destiny requires a new identity. Okay? In order for Abraham to experience the promise of becoming, watch this, a father of many nations, God had to change his name from Abram to Abraham. In other words, his identity had to now match his destiny. God changed Sarai's name to Sarah. So watch this. So her identity can now match her new destiny. Jesus' identity at the beginning was the Word. Remember? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, Jesus' identity in the beginning was the Word, but his name had to change from the Word to Jesus to fulfill his destiny. In other words, his identity as the Word created the world, but his identity as Jesus caused him to die for the world. Because when your season changes or when your destiny changes, God needs to change your name. Everybody say a name change causes a season change. And so for 20 years, I functioned as Pastor Eben. But now God is changing my season. He's changing my position. And so here's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you want old wine from Pastor Eben or do you want new wine from Apostle Eben? So let me give you some benefits of apostolic promotion because it's really going to be a blessing for everybody. Here's benefit number one. When the leader goes up, the people goes up. I said when the leader goes up, the people goes up. Here's benefit number two. You get to share in the same grace that God has given me. See, Paul said you are partakers of my grace. Watch this. You get the same reward that I will get. Watch this. If you participate in the assignment. You know, when I get to heaven, whatever reward I get, you get as long as you did your part in the assignment. Here's number three. This is good. Your calling as a person will be revealed through your connection. In other words, your direction is going to come from your connection. And see, years ago, I did not know at the time when I was serving that God, watch this, was steering through my volunteering. I'm going to say that again. I didn't realize that God was steering through my volunteering. I just thought, you know, you're supposed to volunteer in a church. That's what you're supposed to do. And so after a long time of sitting, being a bench member like some of y'all, Oh, I was warm in that bench. I mean, that bench was warm. And I'm in church, warm in the bench, for I don't know how many Sundays in a row. Ready for the pastor to give the benediction. And as soon as he said, amen, I was out of there. And before I jumped out, the Lord said, you're not leaving today. Your assignment is to pick up all the trash in the pews that your brothers and sisters are going to leave. I was like, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do that. Because I wasn't doing nothing. I wasn't. So I went and found somebody, asked them for a trash bag. And I just went and picked up all the trash. Nobody asked me to. The Lord told me to. And see, some of y'all's problem is you're waiting on somebody to tell you something or to ask you something when God's already telling you something. You don't need nobody to ask you to volunteer. That's something God already telling you. And see, this kind of message, it ain't for people who still haven't figured out if coming to church and being involved is part of God's will. I'm not talking to you. Because see, that's church 101. Yeah. These are people that say, I can do Jesus without church. You can't. That's a lie, because Jesus is the church. So here it was, I'm picking up trash. And the next Sunday roll around, and I think I'm going to get out of there. He said, no. I need to. Every Sunday, you know, God will speak to Ebonics to you if you listen. Now, God will talk to you right where you is. If you from the hood, he will talk to you like you from the hood. That's why he sounds like your mama sometimes. Yeah. If you from England, he going to have an English accent. So he was like, no. Every Sunday, I need you to pick up the trash. So I did it every Sunday. I found out where the trash bags was for myself. And I just went, you know, and picked up the trash. So finally, one of the leaders came to me and says, you know what? We noticed that you've been picking up the trash. Nobody asked you to do that. We'd like you to do something else. And I'm thinking, okay, the scripture says you be faithful over little. God's going to make you rule over much. They must go ask me to teach the word of God. I mean, wouldn't that be a testimony? From the pew to the pulpit. I say, well, what would you know, Chick-fil-A wasn't big back then, or I would have said, my pleasure. I said, what would you like for me to do? They said, would you start cleaning the bathrooms too? Now see, some of y'all be like, oh man, what is all that about? See, I got promoted, and if my perception wasn't right, it'll look like I got demoted. Mm-hmm. So you know what I did? I started cleaning the bathrooms. And then when they saw, because see, if you can't be faithful over stuff, why would God make you faithful over people? So, long story short, people were visiting the church, but they weren't being called or, you know, connected back to the church. So they asked me, hey, would you take all these visitor cards and call the visitors? I was like, okay. Keep cleaning the bathrooms, though, and picking up the trash in the pew, though. Don't stop doing that. I was like, okay, no problem. Because I'm called to ministry anyway. So I started picking up the trash and started cleaning the bathrooms. And then I started, during the weekday, I would go up to the church. Because I didn't want them, you know, back then cell phones weren't huge. We had beepers. Hello. So I needed to call and make these phone calls. So I'm making these phone calls, and I put together a script. So I know what to say. And you know, when a visitor gets a call from a church, they're like, wow, those people care about me. I'm going to go back. So now they come back. And they bring somebody. Girl, they called me when I got home. So now the visitor brings a visitor, and that visitor is expecting a phone call like the first visitor got. So now my visitor call started increasing where I couldn't handle it by myself. So I'm like, hey, listen, can I recruit some people to help me? Because watch this, church. Ministry being done by just you only helps you, only perfects you, only equips you. But the Bible tells us we're supposed to make disciples of men. We're supposed to equip the saints. So guess what? They say, hey, you can recruit. So you know what I did? I just picked some people that I saw come to church every Sunday, but they were bench members. Oh, yeah, that was a bench member because they sat next to me. I knew who the bench members were. Y'all know who the bench members are. Just look around you. Look around you. Y'all know who the bench members are? So I was like, you know what? Let me recruit some of these bench members. So I just got a small group of people. And I trained them on what I did. I said, listen, here's what I do. Here's the script. You don't even have to think. You know how to read? Yes. All you have to do is read this script. And so it started working. So basically, here's my point. I ended up creating a whole department from starting picking up trash out of the pew. But let me tell you what happened. Because my point is this. God was using my volunteering to steering. I did not know that I was gifted administratively because I was never put in a position for my administrative skill set to surface. But it was through my volunteering that my skill set of administration began to surface. And the next thing I know, they realize and I realize that I am gifted with administration. And watch this. That would be the thing that God would use. Watch this. To open the door for ministry that he called me to do. Had I never volunteered, God wouldn't have been able to steer. And some of you haven't discovered your call because you're doing nothing at all. Now, let me say this and I'm closing right here. I'm going to give y'all some change today. Let me tell you this. So to show you this is scriptural. Because, listen, Jesus calls you. But he uses other people to direct you. When Saul had an encounter with Jesus in the book of Acts, the Bible says, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Saul says, Lord, who are you? And so he's having a conversation with Jesus. Then Jesus says something to him. He says, Saul said, what would you have me to do? You know what Jesus said? Go to the city and somebody's going to tell you what that is. In other words, watch this. He was called by God, but he was directed by men. And some of you, you know you call, but you don't want to be directed. And here's the thing, because we getting, I don't know, I think the list of who we're ordaining and licensing him, I don't know if it's like 15, 20, and then I'm going to do it again in October. See, some of you all are MITs in training. So what's an MIT? A minister in training. Some of you all are deacons in training. Some of you all are PITs, pastors in training. But you'll never see your calling until you are willing to be directed. And the direction just can't come from me. It's going to come from the leadership through me. So watch this, and I'm closing. When you have an attitude for people that I have put in place to oversee, when you have an attitude with them, you actually have an attitude with me. Let me say that on this side because I feel like they need it. Did you know that when you have an attitude with anybody that's over you, they don't understand my gifting. They don't know what I'm gifted to do. I don't know why they just, you know, I can sing the high note. Why he ain't got me on praise and worship? Why I'm just in the choir? Because your spirit is keeping you back. Listen, God don't care about your voice. He cares about your heart. Here it is, you up here and you can sing like Minnie Riperton. You can hit those high notes. But man, what's coming out of your heart is dirt. So how do we apply the word today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? That's number one. Number two, here's the harder thing. Surrender to the structure. Surrender to the structure. Yeah. Thank you for those four scattered claps. Can y'all at least clap all together so that it sounds good on the video? Listen. Some of you all are playing church. This is the institution that God uses to fulfill the call he has on your life. Your job don't do that. Do you really want to know the purpose of your job? It's to provide you for seed that for you to sow. But the church, the body of Christ, you got to take it serious. Because, watch this, your life depends on this. And some of y'all playing around. You playing Russian roulette with your call. So I hope y'all got something today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed.